Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Invasion did 770,000 buys on pay-per-view. To give you some context, WrestleMania 17 that came a few months before did like 1.04 million buys, and we all talk about that like it's the best flipping WrestleMania ever. That's mostly because it is. But that is the interest that it had. Even without all these megastars, people couldn't believe that we were going to get CWWF versus ECW versus WCW, and they were happy to put their hand in their pocket and throw money at their television screen before remembering that's not how it worked. And then they probably phoned someone. Had a phone, but it was 2001. But I totally get this because I was one of these fools that was so pumped for this, because seeing Paul Heyman and Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon come together to say, oh, hey, we're the Alliance now, I wasn't really thinking about the fact that we hadn't seen Goldberg, we hadn't seen Hulk Hogan, we hadn't seen Kevin Nash, we hadn't seen Ric Flair. I was just going, this is like Nintendo and Sega coming together. This is like Nike and Adidas making one special shoe. So all of it just felt like this really cool dream, but was also the reason why it eventually imploded, because as it turned out, we did need this extra firepower, and Vince McMahon had already decided, well, I'm not going to give an inch to any of the World Championship Wrestling or ECW roster, so instead the World Wrestling Federation will just basically like run them over week in, week out. And I tell you, for a good 6 months, that is all we saw on wrestling TV. It was also strange because by the end of it, it was WWF guys fighting WWF guys, although these were WWF guys that had defected, which of course brings the conversation to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because do you know what happened before this pay-per-view? One of the greatest returns ever. Because ever since WrestleMania, Stone Cold Steve Austin had basically turned into some kind of loopy, insane Care Bear. But Vince McMahon knew, no, I don't need that Austin, I need the real Stone Cold. So was begging the Rattlesnake to go back to his former self so he would go out there and kick everybody in the bum. Seriously though, go and watch when he does walk down that rampway to finally kick the Alliance's ass. My word, the reaction is life-affirming, and I could actually watch it for the rest of my life and I'd never get bored of it. Jim Ross here is absolutely perfect too, just going, he's walking. This is all time. So why then, after he had helped redraw the audience and got the WWE Universe so excited, was it decreed that at the Invasion pay-per-view, he should go back to being a villain? Well, I have the answer for you, and it is... I don't think the WWE knows. I suppose from Austin's point of view, he was just desperate to do something different. I mean, he had trailblazed, so he did fancy a change, more power to him. It just isn't what any of the audience wanted to see. And look, storyline-wise, it was pretty good. It was pretty damn good, because how had ECW and WCW turned the WWF champion against his very own organization? But the issue is that the champion should have been Stone Cold Steve Austin, it should have been somebody else, and the Byatt Reckneck should have been the dude leading the charge to try and win it back. So I guess that everybody deep down was thinking this could be Stone Cold's Hulk Hogan in 1996 moment, where he does something so crazy it sparks business. But Stone Cold Steve Austin was not Hulk Hogan, and in 1996, people were ready to boo the red and yellow. But even to this day, people just don't want to boo Austin. Sometimes that's the way the cookie crumbles. Another idea behind all of this as well was that we could build to SummerSlam, where we were going to do The Rock versus Stone Cold, because Rocky was about to come back from Hollywood. But then once again, the powers that be went, wait a minute, isn't him coming back like a draw all of its own? And somebody else went, oh yeah, good point, and it got scrapped. This is why Kurt Angle and Booker T were worked into those positions instead, and the best trivia that I will bestow upon you today is that the Invasion set, which is pretty damn good to be fair, was still being worked on during Sunday Night Heat. When Chavo Guerrero arrived, he had to come out of the wrong tunnel, because there wasn't another tunnel to come out of. Honestly though, I don't care, because it does look taboo and something we should bring back today. And yes, apparently, those rumours that WWF only got permission to use the ECW name legally 2 days before this thing, well, look, I read a lot, and everybody says that it's true. So, for better or worse, it is one of the most important pay-per-views in history, and I'll let you debate that in the comments, but in front of 17,000 fans in Cleveland, Ohio, it is WWF Invasion. Let's retro up those doubts. All you need to know about how Vince McMahon actually saw the Alliance is proved as soon as this show starts. Because guess who's just in the ring without an entrance? It's Lance Storm and Mike Awesome. And even though Lance wants to chat to us for a little while, before he can even get a word out, Edge and Christian are here. I mean, we really should have known. I do believe this is the first time that Mr. Storm has come up on Ups and Downs, though. So I just say, one, he is an underrated gem. He is such a good wrestler. But also, two, if you consider yourself any kind of wrestling expert, or you want to be, you need to listen to what this man says about sports entertainment. He never gets it wrong. Well, rarely. This also seemed to be a time when Mike Awesome was a little bit lost, because you know back in the day, he could absolutely smash it. Whereas on this evening, well, he couldn't quite get it together. Case in point, Edge gives him a drop kick and it misses by about 67 miles. But Mike takes that bump anyway. And of course, these things do happen, but it doesn't mean that it wasn't funny. And all of these four dudes clearly are so ramped up by the loud crowd. I mean, within about 120 seconds, they just diving out of the ring. And when Christian does it, he catches his foot on the top rope. And I tell you, I screamed, oh no, he's gonna die. And then remembered, I knew he wasn't going to die because he's still wrestling today. This poor man too, he gets absolutely obliterated here. Like at one point, he takes his horrible nasty fall into the top turnbuckle. And then later on, he just gets thrown into the barricade. But nobody is taking care of him. You already know the deal though. If you were associated with WCW or ECW in any sense, Vince McMahon was just gonna run you into the ground because he wasn't behind your creation. How many times have we heard that over the years? He wanted to be the guy pulling all of the strings, and if you had found any momentum anywhere else, well, it really was going to be an uphill battle. I mean, look at Bill Goldberg. It is still a fun tag team match, though, and the finish especially makes you go, isn't that cute, from a 2021 perspective? Because Mike Awesome is about to give the Awesome Bomb to Edge when it's Christian that hits him with the spear. Then Edge and Mike Awesome all tumble down, allowing Edge to get the 1-2-3. So that's 1-0 for the WWF. And just know that all the ones they are going to lose, well, they don't really mean nothing, but I tell you, decent start up. Cue to Vince McMahon in the back, who's basically dancing around because he's so happy when William Regal arrives and goes, oh, Vincent McMahon, I'm so happy to tell you, Stone Cold Steve Austin is here. Should we go say hello? And Vince is like, no, just leave him be. Regal is also getting ready for his match against Raven, so McMahon tells him to be like George Washington. That is really weird. And take that last segment and stick it right into your brain, because somebody somewhere also decided, well, if all the wrestlers are fighting, surely the employees should be having a scuffle too. So why don't we do a WWE referee versus a WCW referee? And somehow this got greenlit. Now, actually, this is a really good idea because it does tie right into the narrative. This would be the case. If anybody's on your turf, you're going to get pissed off. But that does not mean that you have to turn it into a professional wrestling bout. Because, yes, it is Nick Patrick representing WCW taking on Al Hebner, who's representing the WWF. And for reasons nobody knows, Mick Foley is a special guest referee because I guess he's the right man to bring authority to this thing. I'm just crapping out words. All the WCW refs tried to interfere, so Foley goes, man, you've got to get out of here. And then back in the ring, Earl Hebner gives Nick Patrick a spear to get the victory. I'm like, why would you do a spear? The first match ended with a spear. Why didn't you just punch him in the face? Thankfully, it is really short. I mean, I don't think it goes longer than 2 minutes. And it's actually not as bad as you're probably thinking right down in your tootsie toes. But my big question is always this. Who wanted to see it? And especially when you couldn't get like the likes of Sting. If I had told you back then one day we're going to have an Invasion pay-per-view, but oh man, are we going to get Sting versus The Rock? And I went, no, but we will get Earl Hebner versus Nick Patrick. You would have kneed me in the balls, and when I was rolling around going, oh, my testicles, I would have understood it, because it doesn't seem fair. That's why I scared her down. Foley also applied Mr. Socko to Nick Patrick afterwards, because again, we have to try and destroy these fools as much as possible, so you know, even though Vincent Killing Man bought his competition, they've never been better than him, even in a storyline that he's writing. And if that made no sense, it's because the whole thing didn't make any sense. Advert for the first season of Tough Enough follows this, and my word, I felt old, felt like I needed an MVP stick, when we're reminded that on a recent episode on either Raw or SmackDown, DDP had got Deborah, Stone Cold Steve Austin's wife, and locked her in the trunk of a car. Don't forget either, too, that at this stage, Stone Cold Steve Austin had already defected, but we didn't know, so his plan was, hey, Diamond, go and get the love of my life and put her in the boot. Honestly, there's a big reason why none of this worked. The biggest part being, why were we treating DDP like this? They did not understand what they had. Deborah and Sarah are then shown on screen, and Deborah's really mad, as is Sarah, because they both think Diamond Dallas Page is a pervert. Who in their right mind would look at Dallas and go, well, he looks some kind of sex pest, let's just move on. We're saying that in many ways, they got off easy. Because next up, we had the APA taking on Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo. And if you were like me, around this time, you were looking at Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo going, these two have got something. They're young, they're sprightly, they come across like a good tag team. I hope they get a shot in WWE. And they did get a shot, but it was a shot from Bradshaw as his fist came soaring towards their chin. It's not like they get squashed, but just some of the liberties that the APA take here. Deep down, they must be like, we really hate WCW, and we're going to take advantage of this. I swear at one point, Bradshaw boots one of them and actually tries to break their knee. And I also think there was a thought process by some of the WWF roster that they didn't want all these new guys coming in trying to take their spots, especially because the people trying to take their spots also tried to put them out of business. So they were like, we will rough them up, and if they go complain, we can say, see, they don't know how to be a team player. And out the door they would go. The crowd are super loud for most of this, which does make it better than the sum of its parts. And then Bradshaw just slams Chuck Palumbo with this clothesline from hell, which was so stiff, I think I broke my neck, and they get the 1, 2, 3. And as we know, we wouldn't really do anything with these two guys, which still seems completely baffling to me. It's getting it down.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Back to Vinnie Mac after this, who is still doing his jig when he's joined by Chris Jericho, who says the E in Paul E. Dangerously stands for ooh, and then they both take some really, really mean shots at this man, to the point I was like, I don't think this is very fair, although you can just see it in your mind's eye. I don't think Chris Jericho came up with this. I would guess it was written by Vince McMahon. Vince finishes with Y2J's catchphrase, which I suppose is meant to be cute, and then you cut to Stephanie in a different locker room, who just squeals how much she hates Jericho. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Bless Paul Heyman, though, because he is backstage with Steph and Shane McMahon, and he just makes you feel like this is the biggest thing you've ever seen in your life simply by cutting a promo. I do not want to think what would happen with this without him. That's a huge reason why our next match, Billy Kidman versus X-Pac, works so well. up. It also felt extra special because it was WCW Cruiserweight Champ taking on WWF Light Heavyweight Champ. And as ever, when you get two people like this in a ring in 2001, it's a bit like looking into the wrestling future because they just go, go, go. They're so quick doing flippy-dippy moves. X-Pac is still booed here, even though he is on Team WWF and everybody else in the World Wrestling Federation is getting cheered. And I do want to say, I don't know how all of this happened, but I do not believe this man got the credit he is due at times. He was like a savant when it came to wrestling, and we just go, oh, we don't like you. It's not right. But you get punches, you get dives, like I say, it's just speed, 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 and it's exactly what the pay-per-view needs at exactly the right time, because all of a sudden the fans are even more buzzing than they were, and if nothing else, you sat on your ass at home, you're having a good time too. Kidman even kicks out of the X Factor, so we're either trying to bury X-Pac or make sure that Billy Kidman was the best thing ever, and then he hits that wonderful but also terrifying shooting star press. I don't know how Bill did this. It was like half parts the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life, and half parts, oh my gosh, he's gonna fall on his head. But sometimes he actually did. It does mean that WCW finally gets a win, and if we had just put a bit more effort into the rest of the matches, like we had done this one, I'm sure Invasion would have lived up to its billing. Really is pretty good. Celebrations with Shane and Stephanie afterwards when DDP arrives. And yes, once again, he is told, you've got to act like some kind of sex fiend. I will never get over it. It kind of ties into the next segment too, because Tori Wilson and Stacey Keibler are here, and they basically go, man, wouldn't it be great to have sex with the Hardy Boys? And I was like, why did I used to watch this crap? Why did I used to watch this shit? It's embarrassing. And I went from embarrassment to sadness, because what happened next, it just was not on. Because I suppose it was just something the crowd didn't want to see, but we do get Raven versus William Regal, and these two guys are tremendous at what they do, especially Regal, who, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most underrated wrestlers ever. So when the audience started chanting boring halfway through, well, you would be able to pinpoint the moment my heart broke, like Ralph Wiggum on The Simpsons. They really do kick the crap out of each other as well, although opposed to that tag match, this seems more of a, hey, hey, let's go out there and have a good match. And I suppose at this juncture, Vince McMahon went, oh wait, I do have to let the opposition win some of them. So out come Taz, he does the distraction, he causes the interference, Regal gets hit by the Evenflow DDT, and he loses. The problem is it doesn't feel like much of a win at all, which is absolutely the point. But once again, just William Regal, he's in the ring doing his wave beforehand. Made me feel really happy just with life. But come on now, we gotta tell the truth down. The man is back next and he's trying to wind up The Undertaker, get him all fired up for his match, and he basically shouts in his face, hey Undertaker, remember that time DDP tried to have sex with your wife? And I'm like, ah, I can't watch this anymore. Kane's there like, oh, I don't think this is a good plan. Sometimes it can be so dire. And then honestly, I do not remember what came next. I could have taken my brain out of my skull and gone through my file effects, and I don't think I ever would have come up with this, because it is Billy Kidman, Albert, and The Big Show taking on Hugh Morris, Chris Kanyon, and Sean Stasiak. Excuse me, meat. I mean, what is that? Where did that come from? And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but once more, if you've just heard on paper or down the dialophone that it's going to be WCW versus WWF, and then you get meat back in the company, well, I do not think you're going to be a very happy pup. It's as transparent as you like, too, because it's clearly just another smoz fest to try and get the Alliance another win. I mean, despite having six people in it, it doesn't even get to the 5-minute mark. And even though Hugh Morris is able to get the victory after a Kanyon reverse DDT, afterwards, all the WWF guys massacre these people to the point that if you had tuned into the pay-per-view at that very second, you would have assumed there'd just been a car wreck. So the message was nice and simple. They had fluked this and their punishment was certain death. Down. With that in mind, thank goodness for Booker T, because we go to the backstage area where he is here, and Booker T instantly is coming across like a big deal, because of course Booker T was a five-time WCW champion. This is Nuts Booker T as well, and I love Nuts Booker T. He gets so close to Shane McMahon, because he's just so up there with energy, that you can't help but laugh, but he was so damn good in the ring. I would actually throw Booker T into the underrated category. Even though lots of people love him, he's better than you remember. We also cut to William Regal, who's just yelling at Tajiri, because they used to have that really good opposites attract relationship. And he does finish it by going, bloody hell, Tajiri, you need to win. As a British person, I felt pretty good. It was then Tajiri versus Taz, and I wasn't 100% sure who was meant to be on each team. Because, of course, Taz had come in long before this, and Tajiri, well, he'd been around too. It's not like they had any loyalty to any promotion. This is really stupid. I did actually have fun though, because on one side you have Tajiri, who just throws these amazing kicks. I think sometimes he was just booting people in the face for real. But on the other you have Taz, and nobody threw a suplex quite like Taz. Because once again, he kind of just dumped them right on their head. You could call this before it began, though, because in 2001, the WWF just did not like Taz. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's a mystery, a la Evolution. So, of course, Tajiri goes, and he spits the green mist right into his face. He then hits the buzzsaw kick, which, again, is the stiffest thing you'll ever see in your life. And he wins. This was far better than a lot of the other stuff we did get on the card, though. Up. However, after that, you just get the worst segment at WWF New York, because Bob Holly is signing autographs when he sees someone with a WCW t-shirt on, and even though this nice fan wants an autograph, instead, Bob Holly beats him up. What a schmarrel. We then got to a situation which was basically, well, you can't hold good talent down. Because it was RVD versus Jeff Hardy for the hardcore title, and I got no bones about saying it, this is the best thing on Invasion. RVD was already over with the fans because he just had something about him that the fans always liked, and you could use the exact description of a Jeff Hardy. So when they were in the ring and they were flying around like absolute loons, well, you cannot help but be entertained. Up. To try and get himself booed, RVD does just slam Matt Hardy with a chair before we did begin. But no one cares about that in 2001, because you just had to tune into any single wrestling show and you'd see someone get slammed by a chair. They also loved RVD, mostly because he did drugs and because when he is in the ring, I mean, he's jumping off barricades, these two are jumping over the top rope, people are being thrown through tables. You're not going to remember a Rye chair shot from 10 minutes ago when these two guys are giving you every single thing they have. Do not forget as well that back in 2001, in Western wrestling, not everybody was doing stuff like this. And by the time Jeff Hardy brings a ladder in there and gets shoved off the top and takes this hellacious fall, well, that's it. They have won. If that wasn't enough, too, RVD then boots a chair right into Jeff Hardy's face and surprise, surprise, he gets busted open. And when Jeff goes for the Swanton Bomb, he misses. Now, I have talked about this on Modern Ups and Downs all the time. Jeff Hardy never hits the Swanton Bomb. And here, we've gone 20 years in the past, and he still can't do it. Jeff, change your move. It does allow Rob Van Dam to get to the top rope instead and hit the 5-star Frost Splash to get the 1-2-3. This one of those matches where nobody loses because the effort is through the roof. It, of course, pissed off Vince McMahon, though, who is now back once again. And here he's yelling at Kurt Angle, telling him that he's got to win for America because I suppose WCW hates the USA. Chocolate and babies and marshmallows and pillows. I don't know. I would much rather talk about that though, because then the Attitude Era slaps you right in the face. Oh boy. Because it is Trish Stratus and Lita taking on Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson in not only a bra and panties match, but as it is advertised, the first ever tag team bra and panties match. Now, this doesn't really make any difference. You still have to try and rip off the other opposition's clothes. So they do that. Mick Foley, for no reason, is a special guest referee once again. And I know people are just going, oh, Sam, you've forgotten. Horny teenage boys. I need to worry about horny teenage boys. I need to be worried about not being mortally embarrassed when I'm watching my professional wrestling. And that's how I felt here. Down. It did lead to our main event and the inaugural brawl as Team WWF fought Team WCW and ECW. And look, it does have major problems, mostly that when you look to the lineups, you're like, well, that's a WWF guy, that's a WWF guy over here, that's a WWF guy, that's a WWF guy. And you were desperate for WCW and ECW guys that you were never going to get. But it is Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, The Undertaker and Kane taking on the Dudley Boys, DDP, Booker T and Rhino, and they get a long time. I think they almost clock in at 30 minutes, and you can't say they don't work their ass off, because obviously they work their ass off. We also injected enough hoorah into this to get you all excited about it, because beforehand you have the speeches from Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon and Shane McMahon, to the point that by the time they're coming down to the aisle, you're like, man, maybe this is the biggest deal of my life. I better pay attention. I suppose really we only need to talk about Austin here, because it does tie into everything we chatted about in the intro. But once again, the reaction he gets here is quite clear evidence that the plan that we do have is going to fall into the exact same trap we did at WrestleMania 17, but we just did it again anyway. And look, do not get me wrong, I love crazy, paranoid, I don't trust anybody, Steve Austin, but on a greater scale, it's not what people wanted, and how many times have we talked about that when it comes to professional wrestling? Just give the fans what they want, and 9 times out of 10 you have a successful product. The match goes nuts halfway through because everybody is hitting a big move and referees are being knocked out all over the place. And I was like, wait a minute, is this the birth of the tag team klaxon? Once again, if you watch Ups and Downs week in, week out, you know the tag team klaxon is when inside a wrestler's head they hear, which means they're now allowed to get in the ring and do whatever the hell they want. Because honestly, it's like a gun goes off, they all of a sudden just take the rules and go, nah, I'm not interested. Because I mean, Rhino gets thrown through a table, The Undertaker and DDP fight to the back, because never forget the DDP is a massive pervert. Shane McMahon hits his dad with the World Wrestling Federation title right in the head. So much happens towards the end of this, you would not be able to fit anything else in if you wanted to. Of course, the big twist throughout all of this is that Kurt Angle actually hits the Olympic Slam onto Booker T, but there's no referee to count the 1, 2, 3. So Steve Austin goes and gets one, he throws him in the ring, just when you think it's over, Austin boots Kurt Angle right in the skull, gives him the stunner, grabs Booker T, throws him over our Olympic gold medalist, and if you can believe it, the Alliance has defeated the World Wrestling Federation. It also meant the Alliance had done it, Mr. Burns had won it, and then when you see Austin celebrating with Shane McMahon, Stephanie and Paul Heyman, it is a moment, but we've already talked about it. And it did, within the confines of this few seconds, make you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But then yes, almost instantly you're like, well, no, I don't wanna watch this. That's not why I tuned back in. And once again, we just drove potentially 1 million people away. I mean, that's a wild exaggeration, but it was a lot. That is all after the fact stuff though. And in terms of what we did on this evening, it absolutely does its job. I mean, it's bonkers, it's all over the place. It makes you believe that either team could potentially win. And we do have our big surprise ending. And don't pretend that we aren't all clamoring for a surprise ending every single month, because we are. It's just so poorly thought out because it's the wrong guy, but it does make you go, oh, I can't believe it. How did he turn his back on me? Oh, God, oh, you ripped my heart out and you do a crap over it. That was a bit too much, but still, up. As always, before I bid you adieu, I will give you the Wrestling Observer rating so you can get a second opinion. The opening tag match got 2.5 stars. Dave Meltzer didn't even bother to give a rating to the referee match. APA versus Sean and Chuck got 1 star. X-Pac versus Billy Kidman got 2 stars. Raven versus Regal got 1/4 star. So did that man 6-man tag team match. Tajiri versus Tag got 1.75 stars. Hardy versus RVD smashing out with 4 stars. No rating for the women's match for obvious reasons. And the main event got a very respectable 3.5 stars, especially because Austin was injured during all of this. He had like broken bones and he still managed to fight. So it is a difficult one because with all the hindsight, I do think, man, we botched the invasion, we shouldn't have done it. But at the time I loved it, and watching here, being able to kind of put myself in that time period, I enjoyed it again. So I am absolutely a huge problem because I'm gonna give it an up. It doesn't even deserve it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.